Accepting Daddy by Lynette Blumhardt. Prayer flags fluttered over the coffee shop's doorway. Chimes sounded quietly somewhere from the back room. A young man, the one who wore a metal disc that stretched his earlobe to the size of a silver dollar, carried Tracy's cup of oolong tea and set it before her with great ceremony. The other workers behind the counter were young as well. Some wore dreadlocks or dyed their hair to look like tropical plumage. Tracy smiled up at the young man, rubbed her left ear, and winced a little. She looked into her teacup and thought, "Mom's going to love this place." An email from a woman named Madeline was the reason Tracy wanted to speak to her mother, find out if Mom could shed any light on what was probably a cruel hoax. Suspicious emails had been showing in Tracy's inbox for a while. She figured they were a Nigerian scam or from a Russian hacker fishing for suckers. That was until she received the latest one. She unfolded the printed email and scanned its text. Subject: Please read this. We're related. See my photos. Dear Tracy, I can understand why you haven't responded to my earlier emails. You probably thought they were fake. Please read this and let me at least introduce myself. My name is Madeline, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but you and I have the same father. I had no idea until recently that my pop had another child, that you and I are sisters. Pop always supported and loved me. He wasn't around much because his work as an engineer took him away, but when he was home, he was completely focused. He was good to my mother, too, but she passed away a while ago, so I never had a chance to talk to her about any of this. Other than my pop, my mother was my only family. I'm ashamed to say that after my mother died and I went away to college, I didn't take the time to keep up with Pop. He'd send cards now and then, but I didn't even know exactly where he lived. I guess I got busy. Pretty pathetic. Now that I'm in grad school and see my friends getting married and starting families, I realize that I miss my pop. When months passed and I hadn't heard from him, I started to worry. I tried to locate him, did some internet sleuthing, and found your mother's blogs and Facebook page about Pop's cancer. From what I've read, it looks like you call him Daddy. I've always called him Pop. I almost didn't email you. I had to wrap my head around the deceit and lies that he told me and my mother. I was so pissed at him. But he's all I've got now. I want to meet and talk to you. I know that Pop needs a bone marrow transplant because of his cancer. I don't know what to expect, but I decided that I want to help. I love him too. That's all I know. Before you delete this, look at the photos that I attached. There's one of me and Pop together. It was taken 6 years ago at my high school graduation. Please email me, Madeline. The photo Tracy stared at was convincing. There was no doubt that the man in it was her father. A smiling young woman stood next to him in the photo. She bore a striking resemblance to Tracy, the same green eyes, splotchy skin, strawberry curls, and protruding ears. Tracy clenched her jaw. She squeezed her eyes shut. That's when a bell over the coffee shop's front door tinkled. She looked up. A past middle-aged woman stepped inside. Her chestnut head bobbed as she bounced toward Tracy's table. She popped out earbuds, and a faint Gregorian chant buzzed from the ends of the device. "Ooh, I love this place," her mother beamed. When she turned her head to look around the room, her dangling earrings clattered like tiny wind chimes. Curiosity crossed Tracy's face. "When did you get an iPod, Mom?" "When Mr. and Mrs. Love Shack, who live in the condo next to mine, started doing it out on their patio. They're so noisy." Tracy's mother set her iPod on the table and settled into her chair. "Sorry I'm late, sweetie. I had a blog to post. Buddha's Reflections on Acceptance. Anyway, how are you?" "Mom, I'm going to get right to it." "You always do, sweetheart." Her eyes shone. She leaned across the table toward Tracy. "I hope you're taking time away from that career of yours to relax.
Just because it's your first real job doesn't mean you have to kill yourself. Yeah, whatever, Mom. Listen, I need your help. Even though her parents had been divorced for some time, Tracy knew her mother would cooperate. The dissolution of their marriage had been what people called amicable. After their divorce, Mom and Daddy kept in touch, and when Daddy got cancer, Mom helped him with doctor visits and Eastern medicines. She opened a Facebook page about his diagnosis. Chipper online reports turned serious, and then they became pleas for tissue donations.
Daddy's cancer had progressed to the point where the only therapy left that might offer remission and the chance that he'd see his next birthday was a bone marrow transplant. Immediate family members and a couple of distant cousins had been tested and rejected as incompatible. A few acquaintances came forward too, but no match. And then Madeline's emails began to show up. Tracy pushed the piece of paper toward her mother. "Read this and tell me what you think. It's probably nothing, but I can't ignore it." Mother and daughter seemed to stop breathing. Tracy watched as her mom read and reread the text. Finally, an "aha" expression spread across her mother's face, and she nodded. Tracy's insides flip-flopped. Her mom's reaction wasn't what she'd expected. She wondered if this thing with another daughter was what had ended their marriage. Everyone assumed that the two had simply grown apart, familiarity and boredom being the insidious enemies of long-time unions. Tracy was the first to speak, more of a hiss, really. "Oh God, Mom, don't tell me this could be true." She jabbed the paper. The thought of Daddy with another woman, another child, and another life was unbelievable. It didn't seem possible that her honest, hard-working, caring father could betray her and her mom in such a cheap way. It's tough to digest the sudden realization that a whole pie you thought was yours is in reality cut up and shared. Did Daddy have two lives? She wondered. While Tracy attended school and played with friends, Madeline was presumably doing similar things. And while Tracy's mom worked at Kroger's grocery or attended school meetings, that other woman did everyday things as well. "How can I ever be sure who my father is?" Her thoughts were a cockeyed whirl of confusion, anger, and worry. She couldn't believe what she'd read. It seemed impossible, yet she knew that Daddy had been good to her. She wanted him to live. Tracy leaned in toward her mother, her breath shallow. She swallowed hard. "What the hell is going on, Mom? You don't seem surprised or pissed off like I am. Did you know about this? Another child and another woman?" An eternity passed before Mom spoke. "Remember how Daddy was gone for at least a week, practically every month of our lives? I guess I never truly believed he was on a never-ending engineering project. It just didn't add up. But I didn't want to confront him, didn't want to think about it. I had my own issues." "Issues? What the hell are you talking about? Everything seemed fine to me." Tracy pushed back on her chair and folded her arms over her chest. A Buddha pendant, which was a permanent fixture around Mom's neck, reflected bits of light as Mom straightened her shoulders. She touched the necklace and spoke. "Daddy was gone so much, and I was lonely." She gave a sad smile. "There was someone at Kroger's. Yes, a cliche. We'd talk, that's all. He didn't think my ideas were silly." "What? Oh God, Mom, don't." Tracy leveled an angry gaze at her mother. "He listened to me, looked at me when I talked. He didn't think I was childish or flighty like your..." "Oh, never mind." Mom's voice was low and soft. "Never mind? I don't think I can never mind. You didn't, did you?" Tracy grimaced, addressing a spot on the table. "The details aren't important anymore, honey." She sat up straight and breathed deeply. "You don't understand, Tracy. You've never been married. It's probably impossible for you to think of your old mother as a real human being with feelings and a need for love.
I felt like a non-entity to your father. Sometimes I still feel that way, but, she continued, I forgave your father a long time ago. You know what the Buddha said. To understand everything is to forgive everything. What I'm trying to say is that I understand how he could have done this. She pointed to the email and grasped her pendant. None of that matters now. Tracy suppressed the instinct to sneer. I don't know if I can be so quick to forgive, either of you. You remember him being gone all of the time. I remember him as always being there for me. There was a time in the fifth grade when Tracy needed a project completed from start to finish in one short weekend. Daddy sprang into action on Saturday morning. He wasn't frustrated by his daughter's lack of planning or her whining and boredom. This is what I do best, he'd told her. The two devised a roadway and lift bridge made of toothpicks. Tracy remembered the toy cars and trucks that ran along its tracks and the miniature town he'd built. Daddy had jollied her along throughout that weekend, and when he delivered her and the project to school on Monday morning, he'd turned to his young daughter. Your teacher's going to go nuts over your project. He laughed and kissed her cheek. I'll be gone for the week with work. See you later, Tater.
Tracy looked up from her reverie to see the young man with the stretched earlobe standing over her, his hand out to clear her cup. She waved him away. No, we're expecting someone else. She looked at her mother. Mom, I'm so confused, but I already asked Madeline to meet me here. I still think this is bullshit about Daddy, but I'm desperate to help him despite, well, I'm not falling for anything. She could be anybody. You know, all of your blogs and Facebook. It's not that hard to find us and come up with a phony story. On cue, Madeline walked up to the table. From her hair and troublesome complexion to her protruding ears, she was unmistakable. Good Lord. Mom said, and let out a long breath. She gestured at the empty chair. The three women looked from one to the other. Finally, Tracy launched in. So, Madeline, if that's your name, I have two questions. She held up one finger. First, how do I know you're telling the truth? Then she held up a second finger. And what do you want? Madeline paused before answering. Hey, I'm not the enemy. She put up her hands. This is beyond shocking to me. I guess you didn't know any of this, right? She looked from Tracy to her mother. Not until now, Tracy answered for the both of them. First of all, I know who my father is. Look at the two of us. Madeline pointed to the photo. I only want to help Pop. He was a wonderful father to me, too. She paused, but Tracy didn't respond. He was in charge of breakfast at home, always made it fun. He built these bridges out of bacon strips. Sounds dumb now, but I was a kid. I loved it. Bacon bridges? Fun? Tracy thought. She sat back, flushed, and then angry. Okay, Madeline, no offense, but I don't know you from the man on the moon. What about a DNA test or something? Mom addressed Tracy. Give her a chance, honey. She wants to help. Someone had to be reasonable, Tracy thought. You could be an imposter, ready to pounce on Daddy's money. It happens. Madeline stood up, all business. You think this is easy for me? I have no family. My pop is the only one left. I planned on getting the tests anyway. She turned back to Tracy. You're lucky. You have a mother. She rubbed her earlobe and walked out. Once Mom saw that Madeline had left the coffee shop, she turned to Tracy. You'll have to accept it, honey. Screw acceptance, Mom. I don't know how you can take this so easily. I'm not exactly surprised, but what do you want from me? An angry old broad, or someone who accepts things she can't change? Psh. You sound like an AA advertisement. Tracy stood to leave. When Madeline's test results came back, Tracy received two pieces of news. Madeline was indeed Daddy's daughter.
The two young women were sisters, but Madeline wasn't a bone marrow match either. Without a donor, Daddy couldn't hold on much longer. He passed away 2 months shy of his birthday. After his passing, Mom reached out to Madeline. They met for tea several times, shared photos, and shed tears over their loss. Tracy refused to join them. "Madeline reminds me too much of Daddy. I can't." A remembrance gathering was planned by Mom. It was held at her condo on the day that would have been Daddy's birthday. "It'll be a nice tribute to your father," she begged Tracy to attend. "Buddha said, you will not be punished for your anger. You will be punished by your anger." Everyone, including some cousins and Madeline, was there. Everyone except Tracy. A mellow glow from an autumn sun lit the bronze urn that held Daddy's ashes. It sat on Mom's mantle, along with framed photos of Daddy, Tracy, and Madeline. Into the evening, friends and relatives recalled Daddy's humor, keen mind, and precise attention to detail. No one dared say anything aloud about his penchant for more than one wife and child. A few friends gathered around Madeline and Mom, while Madeline quietly retold how her pop loved to make breakfast. And then, as she began to tell of a father-daughter dance, Tracy slipped into the room and leaned against the back wall. She didn't say a word. She listened and watched Madeline, who spoke in her straightforward manner. Her strawberry curls curved around her shoulders, and her green eyes filled with tears. When Madeline saw Tracy, she smiled and touched her earlobe. Finally, worn out and talked out, everyone went home. The three women were alone. Madeline sat on the couch and looked at Tracy. "I'll say it again. You don't know how lucky you are to have a mother like yours. I'm not sure mine would be as accepting." "I'm beginning to understand," Tracy replied. She fingered a note her mother had given her. It read, "Conquer anger by love."